Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, continuing our study, looking in verse 10 and 11. "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Heavenly Father, help me to preach tonight. Please answer my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come to chapter 2 of Matthew. And it says in verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." In reading it, read it several times before I preached it or what have you, several things stood out to me. It talks about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem in Hebrew or what have you, it means the city of bread. If you're hungry, you want bread. I understand we have ding dinners and McDonald's and all sorts of things, but generally with your meal, at least I like to have a piece of bread. And it's a symbol of having something to eat. Jesus was born in the city of bread. But we read in John that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." So, and as I prayed, "We hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord, fill us." It says several times, I suppose, in the Word of God. For instance, it says in one place that there was a famine in Israel, not of bread, but of the Word of God. And it says that when Samuel was called into the ministry as a child, hearing the voice, "Samuel, Samuel," it says the Word of God was precious in those days. There wasn't a lot of preaching. Weren't very many good churches or synagogues that would have you to go to. It was precious in those days. But it also mentions that these things happened. The birth of Christ happened during the days of Herod the king. Now, Jesus is, as we read in just a couple of verses, that Jesus is the king of the Jews. He's king of Israel. But as we find it, as we read, that Jesus was born in a stable. But there was Herod the king that was king over Judah. He wasn't a Jew. He was in fact an Edomite. Edomites were longtime enemies of the people of God. And if you want to place them on the map these days, it's in Jordan. This non-Jewish king, an enemy, really, was put as king over Israel by Rome, or over Judah by Rome, as a slap in the face. But as we read the story, we see that the king and the religious leaders were in league. The greatest thing to ever happen on planet Earth is that Jesus Christ would be born in a stable. He's the one that will save His people from their sins. But as we read, as we study, we understand that in verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. To set the stage for the gospel story, you can look at the history of Israel. And in chapter 1, we looked at that. We looked at the lineage or genealogy of Christ. And it gives a history, it gives backstory, it gives some support to the story. But as the Gospels open, as the New Testament opens, we find that Israel's not in charge. We find that they are not feared. We find that they're conquered and subjugated, and the king over them, not even a Jew. But it says, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. We know the hymn, or rather the Christmas carol, written about 150 years ago or something, We Three Kings of Orient Are. It's legend, tradition, embellished facts that there were three kings or wise men. They weren't kings, and that we don't have any evidence, but legend or tradition says that they were, that there were three, and they were kings, and they were from these different eastern places. It's funny, in the Western Church, there are certain names. If you go to the Eastern Orthodox, they have other names. If you go over to Iran, where all of this began, where they came from, they had other names, and they weren't three, they were 12. Everybody's got their own version of events. It's one of the things about tradition. It clouds what the actual text says. Again, instead of names, and we can name them, Malchus and Balthazar and what have you, or from the other cultures we can name them, the Bible gives the record that they were wise men from the east. It mentions them a little bit in this chapter, but that's it. Certainly they were prophesied of from the Old Testament, but here in the record, the Word of God, God's perspective, God's numbering, the names that He's given them, well, what do you know? There's no number, there's no name. I think it's important that we remember tradition, yeah, that's fine, but what does the Word of God say? They came from the east to Jerusalem. Why would they do that? They were, in fact, from Persia, or studied in Persia or something. They were quite possibly Chaldeans, or whatever religion replaced that religion. The sorcerers, as we read in Daniel, that they prophesied, and he said, well, no, this is what God really said. The ones that set him up and etc. and tried to kill him and all of that stuff. The enemies of God, who had another telling, another spirituality, another message. These wise men from the east, they came in all likelihood from Persia, from Iran, it's now called. They were the enemies of God. They withstood the prophet. And yet these are the ones that came. Doesn't make any sense. But you see, Daniel, the prophet, was there. And as you read, several times, God moved on his behalf. And there were decrees made and etc. during his ministry that the only God anyone was allowed to serve was the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because Daniel's prophecies were proven to be 100% accurate. Many will say, well, Nostradamus, or Mayan calendar, or who knows what. Nostradamus may have made some predictions, but he's not a prophet of God. He's false. Oh, Brother Kelly, I don't want to hear that. Well, too bad. The Bible says if you're going to be a prophet, you better make sure you're called of God. And if you prophesy things that don't come to pass, you're false. And the people shouldn't listen to you. Nostradamus made a number of predictions. A few of them were half right. So very many were wrong. He's false. Don't follow him. But these wise men, they read Daniel. In fact, I'd like to turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel made a number of impressive and miraculous and astounding prophecies. But this one, and I've covered it on the radio before, this one is amazing. We understand as we study the Gospels, obviously toward the end of Matthew, that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He was inspected for a few days. He was in the temple, would have you, and nobody had anything that they could say that he was not the Messiah. Oh, the Pharisees, and they would do all of the things that they would normally do, but he was inspected, just like the Passover lamb was inspected. And he was killed just outside of Jerusalem. But it says here in Daniel, beginning at verse 24, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And it goes on. And I've gone into great detail about this when I studied the book of Daniel. And I want to say, put in a plug for my website, joeykelly.net. Click on the link that says radio show. Everything that I've ever preached on the radio and in the churches that I've been in these last 5 years has gone on the radio. If you're interested in what I'm saying, you can go to the page. There are podcasts. You can download them and listen to them. Look for the series on Daniel and look for where it mentions chapter 9 and etc. But there's a lot of detail there. Let me cut to the chase. He's giving a precise timeline from starting point to ending point. He is prophesying to the exact day when Jesus would ride into Jerusalem on that donkey. Let me say that again in case you didn't grasp the import. We know that Jesus is coming back. Don't know the day nor the hour. I can look at the signs of the times. I can look at Israel, the fig tree in 1948. I can look at a number of different things. But I don't know the exact time. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. That's not given, and anybody that stands up and says he knows is wrong. He's confused, or he's lying, or something. He doesn't know. It's getting close. I, Evangelist Joey Kelly, tell you Jesus is coming very soon. The bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. No question about that, but I don't know the day or the hour. Even Jesus did not know. That was the second coming, but the first coming was prophesied to the exact day when Jesus would hop on that donkey and ride into Jerusalem and 4 days later be crucified. These wise men, were they Chaldeans or what replaced them in the Persian Empire? I don't know exactly who they were. But they knew the witness of Daniel 483 years before. They knew the prophecies. They understood. And now Daniel has quite a number of prophecies that lead up to the Messiah and also his second coming. They believed the word of God. They were looking for the Messiah. These people, they weren't Christians. They weren't Jews. They somewhat converted, I suppose, but these were not of Israel. These were Gentiles. These Gentiles rode up on camels coming to Jerusalem and saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" But it's interesting that in verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. The man on the street, the common man on the street, I understand that when Jesus, in fact, start with John, when John began to preach, it says all Judea, all Jerusalem went out to meet John and to be baptized of him in Jordan. When Jesus, 6 months later, began his public ministry, they forgot about John and followed Jesus everywhere he went. At one point, he was at the bottom on the map of the Sea of Galilee. He went to the other side. They went all the way around, 10, 20 miles, however long it was, on foot, running as fast as they could to meet him when he got off the boat. The common man was not troubled by Jesus. He was wanted. He was desired. They listened. They hung on every word he said at the Sermon on the Mount. But the religious leaders and Herod, this Edomite king, when they heard these things, they were troubled. And again, all the religious leaders in Jerusalem with him. And it says in verse 4, "And when he had gathered Herod, all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them that he should know where Christ would be born." And the scribes, man, they got the books out and got the scrolls and said, "Huh, it's right here. It's right here." Verse 5. "And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea." Again, reading the Old Testament prophecy. "For thus it is written by the prophet," Micah chapter 5, verse 2, I think, "And thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." The scribes, they knew this prophecy. The scribes, they could quote it backwards and forwards. The scribes couldn't care less. The greatest event on planet Earth. The scribes, "We don't care. Let me go take another nap." They were letters of, they knew the law, and they could recite it backwards and forwards and tell you what you did wrong last Thursday and everything, but they didn't care that the Messiah had come to Earth. Any thinking man would have been out there in Bethlehem, pitched a tent, waiting. Years before he was supposed to come, want to have a front row seat. The scribes didn't care. All they cared about was the letter of the law. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were in some kind of league, I suppose, with Herod, their oppressors, Rome. Everybody was troubled because nobody wanted to rock the boat. Got this little gravy train going on. Nobody cared. And when it was announced that, "Hey, he's come," they went to the books and said, "Yep, sure enough. But we don't care." But Gentiles cared. And Gentiles went to the same book the Old Testament the scribes went to and said, "Huh, he's coming. He's coming. We've seen his star in the east, and we're come to worship him," these Gentiles. Religion didn't care. And when reminded of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, began to get scared. Because they knew their kingdom was about to be taken from them. But in verse 7 and 8, the wise men were interrogated, summoned by Herod and interrogated. And under some pretense, of, hey, you know, I want to go worship him too. Why don't y'all go find him? Hey, look, it's in Bethlehem. That's, I mean, I know you came to Jerusalem. Appreciate the fact that you came to where the leadership is, but he's in Bethlehem. They knew it from the book. Not that they wouldn't see, not that they wouldn't worship, but they knew it from the book. And it's funny, instead of sending soldiers, if they were so scared, they sent these wise men. And the wise men went, told where to go, and what do you know? They found him. Not in Jerusalem, not in the palace, but in the stable. But they found him. But it says that the wise men were led by the star. You know, it's funny. God says, have no other gods before me. It's in the Ten Commandments. Don't make any idols. An idol is a false god. They were led by a star, but we're not supposed to have any false gods. What about the stars on American Idol? To put those two ideas together. We care more about what's on TV or MTV or the radio. We care more about that than what's in church. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Christian. You ought to think about it. But, you know, it's not just about us four and no more. The fact is the world. That's all they think about is who's going to be on or who's going to get kicked off next week on American Idol. Or who's on the island about ready to get kicked off or whatever. These things that are absolutely inconsequential, that's what people think about. They're lulled to sleep. They have no idea that Jesus is fixing to come back. Absolutely no idea. Couldn't care less. But he is about to come back. But in verse 11, or let's say in verse 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The star led them to Jerusalem, or at least to Israel. They said, well, let's go to Jerusalem. They were kind of confused a bit. I guess they were trying to look for him. They were told, look, he's in Bethlehem. Okay, they pointed their camel toward Bethlehem, and there was that star. And they followed it. And I don't quite understand all of this, the physics of it. I have no idea. But the star rested or shone right above the stable. And they, it says, were exceeding glad, rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They were doing cartwheels out in the parking lot because they had found Jesus. These Gentiles are so happy to find Jesus. These Jews couldn't care less. And then when it's thrust in their faces, they, as we read a little bit later, set about to kill him. But in verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. It's the right attitude. It's the right response. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense, and myrrh. What does the gold mean? And you've listened to me enough times to know I like symbols. Precious. But also gold is a symbol of divinity. You see, Jesus is God come in the flesh. Frankincense. It has a sweet smell, but it's extremely expensive. Precious, if you will. It's from some kind of bush. Actually, the next one, myrrh, is as well. Divinity, gold. But Jesus is also 100% human. They found the child and his mother Mary. Divinity, but then wonderfully rare and costly and a wonderful smell. But then the third gift that they gave, myrrh, it's from another kind of plant. But it's bitter. And the bush that it comes from is a thorny bush. You see, this wonderful story of Jesus in the stable, in the manger. Well, he should have been born in a palace, we understand that, but still, when they found him, they were turning cartwheels, and they were exceeding glad. It said exceeding great joy. They were rejoicing. But you see, Jesus came for a reason. He left his throne in heaven to come down to earth to do something. Doesn't really fit in the manger scene, but he came to die on the cross of Calvary. Myrrh is a bitter spice, and it's gotten from a thorny bush. It talks of his death, crown of thorns, etc., and the bitter speaks of his passion on the cross and his death. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you somehow use what I've said to touch the heart. It burns in me, Lord, that people would trust in the Lord. Go to the Bible, see what the Bible says, and say in their heart, I want to do it. I want to obey it. That's for me. I want it. Lord, somehow use these meetings to touch the heart. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.